So much of our 2,000 years of Christian history has helped us recreate around God and Jesus this religion of do's and don'ts and ethics and shoulds and musts. And we've taken this wonderful thing called relationship and we made religion out of it. And this day, I think God's turning our hearts back to an understanding of relationship. It was never about the shoulds. It was never about how good you can be. Because you can't be good enough. It's about Him being good enough to love you. And when you know you are loved by God, when you know you are loved by God, your life begins to change. Man, things happen to God. God would even know who I am, first of all, is just a miracle to me. That God would care about me is an even greater miracle. But He does. That's the story. Jesus told a story that we call the prodigal son, found in Luke chapter 15. And I think what this story was meant to underscore is that we serve a Father who wants relationship with you more than anything else. Because this parable really isn't about a son, it's about two sons, and it's about a father. Remember the story perhaps well enough. There's two brothers, they're working for their father, who seems to be a large landowner with lots of fields to work in, perhaps vineyards. And the younger son comes one day and he says, "Father, why don't you divide your inheritance and give me my share?" I'm paraphrasing here, but you can read it in your own translation later. The father does it. Crazy father. I wouldn't do it to my kid. I got an 18-year-old boy at home. He said, "Dad, divide it up. I want my half." I'd be saying, "You're nuts. I'm still using your half." "You don't have a half yet." "You just don't. I haven't got my share. I haven't got my quarter from my dad. You're not getting my half from me." This father does it. He gives it to his boy. It's a dishonoring thing for a son to ask, an even more dishonoring thing for a father to do in that culture. But he gives the boy the inheritance. And the boy does what the father knew he would do with it. I don't think the father's taken by surprise here. Any son rude enough to ask for the inheritance is up to no good. He takes the money off to a far-off land. He squanders it with righteous living. Not righteous, riotous. Okay? Squandered it in sin. We don't know, but it just... He squandered on his own excesses and his own gratification, and it's gone. And the famine hits the land, and maybe he thought he had enough left over to live on. Well, maybe until the famine hit and the price of everything tripled. Their own little Y2K moment. And he can't feed himself anymore. And so he goes to a pig farmer in the city, and he joins himself to that man and becomes his slave. Part of his job is to feed the pigs, and he realizes that the pigs are getting better food than he's getting. That's how bad of a farmer he'd become a slave of. And so he starts eating the pigs' food. One day he comes to his senses and he says, "You know what? I'd be better off being a slave in my dad's house than being here." And now the door begins to open, and we maybe understand why the father let him go. He didn't know who his father was. He thought his father was a rat. A demanding guy, no fun to be with, I'll better off on my own. Only in the reality of living out his own desires until they had consumed him, could he stop and say, "You know what? My father's better than this. I'm better off being a slave in my father's house. In fact, I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell my dad, 'Dad, I'm sorry. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Just let me be a slave for you. At least I'll get to eat then.'" So the son picks himself up and heads home. Story shifts home to father. And Jesus says, while the son was yet a long ways off, the father saw him. How does the father see the son yet a long way off? How does that happen? Yeah, I heard it already. He's watching for him. I grew up on a farm. We've got a dirt driveway that went into our vineyard, and it was always dry and dusty. I live in a climate that gets 10 inches of rain a year, and that only between November and March. So it's a long, dry spell between them. And it was dusty. And we always had lots of chores to do on the ranch. We were pruning vines or picking grapes or doing something. And if we knew company was coming, the work ended whenever company arrived. So we'd always tell them, "Early." Dad would say, "Come around 3. We'd be going, "Noon, noon." But still, by 10 o'clock, we're looking down that driveway every minute, pruning vines, looking at the driveway, pruning vines, because as soon as the dust rolls up behind the car, we're done. And we get to quit. That's how a father sees a son a long ways off. There's probably not a day. This was years. This wasn't weeks or even months. This is years. It was time for him to squander the inheritance, for a famine to come, for him to have been a slave in someone else's house. And yet I don't think there was ever a moment on his farm when the father wasn't passing the road, when he wouldn't look down there and go, oh boy, I hope today. I hope today. And then that day came, a long ways off, a little figure on the horizon. But you know what? A father or a mother can spot the walk of their child a long ways off. That's it. That's my boy. See, and now father doesn't do what I think I would do. If my son would have been rude enough to ask for the inheritance, and if I'd been dumb enough in a moment to give it to him, and if he had gone out and wasted it, and now he's coming home to grovel, I think I'd be of the mind to let him grovel a bit. Okay? I think I might have just stood on the porch going, hey, this is going to be fun. Come on home, boy. And boy, watch him walk all the way up the road. I just wouldn't take my eyes off him. I'd just be watching him, and he'd look up, and I'd go, he finally get here. Oh, Dad, I'm not worthy. I know you're not. Dad, just let me be a slave. Maybe. Not this father. This parable is about a father more than it's about son. A father that loved the kid enough to give him everything he wanted and let him go so that he could come to the end of himself, so that he would value what father valued, relationship above everything else. And come home again. And the father's the one that waited for him to come home. This father didn't go chase him down and walk by the pig farm going, hey boy, how you doing in there? Like it here? This, not this father. He just waited. My boy will come to the end of himself. You realize who I am. He'll come home. That's God's heart through the ages. He's given us this planet, everything on it to use, however we want to use it. We can spend it all for our own gain, $4,000 to go on a cruise to Anchorage. We can do whatever we want. God can do whatever He wants. He's waiting for us to come to the end of ourselves and come home to a Father who loves us. When the Father sees Him, is He just going to wait? Is He going to make Him grovel? This Father was off the porch the moment He saw His Son a long ways off. And he goes running down the road. That's not a big deal to us. We've seen dads run. We wear jogging suits and shorts and running shoes, and we run all the time. Remember what men wore in the time of Jesus? Remember? Robes. Long robes, like skirts and dresses and stuff. Long stuff. I've never run in a long skirt. I understand it's tricky. I understand you got to hike that puppy up and take off running. Now, I've never done it. That's what I understand. And in that culture, it was humiliating for a father to hike up his robes and go running. It was considered offensive, dishonoring. But this is no normal dad. This is the story Jesus is telling us to show us what our Father who is in heaven acts like. Grab the robes. Took off down that dusty road, beating the path for his boy. Why? Why not let him grovel? Why not let him come home? You know why? His father already knows that boy had hurt enough. He'd hurt enough, and father didn't want his pain to last 1 second longer than he had to. So he goes running. Boom, boom, boom. The boy's probably reciting his little speech. Ever done that? Got a hard thing to do, you know? I watched my wife come down the aisle when we were going to memorize our wedding vows and say them to each other. And believe me, coming down the aisle, she was not a happy camper because all she's thinking about is, she's going over the speech. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure I want to marry this girl. She looks pretty tit. So we're standing up by the preacher and I'm going, are you okay? Just wish I had maybe memorized the vows. Okay, that's all there. Okay. I do. I'll take her. He's reciting the speech. At some point, he hears the hum, 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 hum of Dad's feet slapping on the road. Looks up. Here comes Dad, barreling down on him. Remember, he's not expecting a welcome home party. He's not. He is not. He's just coming home to slave. looks up, sees Dad. I'm sure this boy just about jumped out of his hide.
Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son.
And you know what? The story is just amusing because the son's speech gets swallowed up in the father's hugs. You know, it's like, who cares? You're home. You wouldn't have come home if you didn't understand something about me. And you're home and hugs and kisses. The servants have run off after the whole show because they can't figure out what the old man's doing. And it's kind of one of those fight. Dad's going to beat the daylights out of the boy. Come home. That moron. No, that's not what happened. But they chased him out there. And he's hugging and kissing his boy. And they're going, not the fight we expected. Dad turns to him and says, get the ring, get the robe, get the sandals, get the fatted calf, we're barbecuing tonight. My son is dead, he's alive. The son is swallowed up, and the only thing that mattered to Father, I want to have a relationship with you. And he didn't have a relationship with his boy the day he asked him for the inheritance. That's what he wanted. He didn't care about the inheritance. What he cared about was relationship with his son. If you're a parent, you understand this. I've got a 20-year-old girl and an 18-year-old son. And the thing I treasure most about my two children is the relationship I have with them. Everything else can go. When she comes home from college for a weekend and we sit down and talk about what God's doing in her life and she's sharing stuff she's going through and things she's excited about, Sarah and I just sit there and say, oh, this is the whole thing. I don't care what she becomes. I don't care if she does anything great and glorious as far as the world's concerned. I want to know my daughter. I want to know my... My son says, yeah, let's go play around the golf. I am gone. I don't care what it is I have to do. My son likes playing with his other friends these days. And when he ever wants to play with Dad, I'm out there. I might even let him win, which I never do. I might. They keep him coming back. Why? Because the father valued relationship more than anything else. And the younger son didn't have it. The story of the parable is, neither did the older son. The son who never asked for the inheritance, who stayed on his ranch, just working for his dad, slaving around. And this is why Jesus told the parable. Not for the tax gatherers and the harlots and the prostitutes that are the younger brother, but for the Pharisees that were the older brother, who slaved in the father's house, thought they were doing God's stuff, working hard for God. I love what your pastor has shared all day about not doing stuff for God, but letting God live in us. That's the epitome of relationship. That's the glorious. We have so many people doing stuff for God. God doesn't need us to do His stuff. God wants us to engage in a relationship with Him where His stuff lives out of us because we live in Him. That son didn't understand it any better than the rebellious son did. This son ensconced in religion and religious works and slaving for his father. And when his son comes home, or his brother comes home, and he hears the party at the house, the servant finds out what's going on and says, that brother of yours is home. And you know how brothers get along, not like parents and kids. I've got three brothers, the little rats. And they take stuff that's not theirs and use my mom and dad for things and get more dinner out of them than I get, and we get jealous and they all like each other sometimes. Brothers are like that. And this brother was like that. What? Party? That's scallywag? The dad finds out about it. Now, if I'm throwing a party for Julie and Andy doesn't want to come in and he's working outside, first of all, that'd be a miracle if he's working outside. But I'd be of a mind to just let him work. I'd be, well, if he's going to act like that, he's going to work. Not this father. This father goes outside and says, what's the problem? You're throwing a party for that brother of mine. Oh, yeah. And it's a good one. I'm paraphrasing that. It's a good one. Fatted cow, tri-tip, barbecue, cheese fries with bacon. Well, probably not bacon. This is a Jewish home. Sorry. Probably not bacon. Thank God I'm not Jewish. I like bacon, but... Why don't you come in and party with us? And the son says, Dad, I've slaved for you. Hear the words? Does he know the father anymore? No, he's a slave. He's a son acting like a slave. I've slaved in this field for you. The Pharisee, done so much, worked so hard for God, has no idea who God is.
has no idea how much he loves. Has no idea. This son that was lost is found again. Son, come to us. That's what John 14 is. In my Father's house are many places to dwell. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. For you. For you. A place in... It's not heaven and a mansion on a street of gold. That's not what John 14 is about. That's what Revelation 21 is about. That's a different story. John 14 is the place that God has made in Himself for you now. If you want to talk about that more, we can. I'll show you what John 14 is about. It's about, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The way into Father. I want to be in you in the same way that I'm in my Father. Relationship, so that every day I awake to the love of God. Every day I live in the communion of God, talking to Him, listening to His heartbeat in me, seeing Him work His life out in my life, enjoying every day the fellowship of my Father and I, and my older brother Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And enjoy that communion. That's the Father we serve. That's why Jesus came. Not to pass out get out of hell free cards. He came because the Father loves you and wants you to be in His house. Wants you to enjoy the fullness of relationship with Him. And you know what? As a son or a daughter redeemed by the love of an awesome God, you'll be and do everything to be and do God wants you to be and do for the rest of your life. And as a slave, you'll never be in do long. You'll only do His stuff as long as you're afraid of Him. Now, tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about no longer being afraid of God. A little group that's getting together, I guess. Well, it's open to everybody, I hope. I don't give it any secrets here. We need to learn about this love, this relationship. This Christianity thing is not about church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, Saturday morning, men's breakfast. All those things can be wonderfully helpful to one thing. To you knowing the Father. For you being secure in the Father's love. For you knowing the Father's heartbeat. Knowing His presence with you. We sing a He is Able song. He is able. No matter what comes my way today, He is able. That's the Father. That He wants to live with you. So when your whole world collapses and you lose your job and your kids do something really stupid and you feel like no one in the world loves you, you know that you have a Father who does and who's going to be at work in all of those things to reveal His glory in you, in the people around you, to make Himself known in the world as the Father who welcomes the rebellious home from the pig pen and the religious home from the slaving camp to a Father's house filled with love and joy. Well, if you want to talk about that for a few days, I'll talk about it with you. More importantly, I want you to live that with Him. I can't teach you to do it. Your pastor can't teach you to do it. We could bring the best seminar people in the world here. The only one that can teach you how to relate to His Father is the Son who knows Him so well. And the Holy Spirit He's given to help us know who Jesus is and who the Father is. And that comes by just asking, you know what? Jesus has been teaching people how to walk with Him for about 2,000 years. And you know what? He's getting pretty good at it. He really knows how to take your life where you are and lead you into a relationship with Him.